Amen. Thank you, Brother David. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. I'd like to preach a message this morning on this thought. Them and him. Them and him. I want to say, you've got to know something about them before you really appreciate him. Oh, Jesus is the brightest. He's the Lamb of God. He is virgin born. He was sinless and spotless. And he got on an old rugged cross and died. But I tell you what'll help you to realize who he died for this morning. He died for the likes of me and you. And now, as they sat down and watched him there, let's notice who was around this cross that day. Before Jesus gets on the old Roman cross and dies for the sins of this world. Let's note, first of all, we find in verse number 3 of Matthew 27, there's Judas there, the deceiver. Judas, the deceiver. There was a lot of people that was gathered around this great event. Now, we know that Judas had his eyes upon Christ. We find out in verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now you'll notice in Matthew 26 and 14, the Judas, the deceiver, notice his silver. The Bible said, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said to them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. And here's a Bible word they used. They covenanted. In other words, they bargained. They sat down and made a deal. They covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I wonder what's your price this morning that you'll take for Jesus. There's a lot of folks have sold him for a whole lot less than 30 pieces of silver. They've sold him for entertainment and they have sold him to the things of this world. But Judas put a price on Jesus and the devil was sure that he would get the price. It warns me this morning, friend, I better never put a price on Jesus because the devil will be sure that he will pay my price. I've heard people say, well, I'll serve God if He'll give me a good family. What if He don't give you a good family? I've heard people say, well, I'll serve God if all my family's well. Well, what if they all turn sick? I'd be careful not to tell the devil what it would take for you to quit serving God, because the devil will be sure that you get your price. Now there is Judas the deceiver. He was one of the 12. Could you imagine being that close to Christ and die without Christ? He was in the inner circle. And I think I've got Bible to prove to you today that Judas was never saved. He was of the devil. He had a bad heart in him. Oh, he wouldn't open his heart unto Christ. Therefore, we find around this cross, as they start gathering around, this trial and mocking starts, we find Judas the deceiver. The Bible said that he said, when he realized, now this was the deal, he had seen Christ do so many miraculous things. He had seen Christ get out of so many jams. But here, what he didn't realize, it wasn't the Roman soldiers nor the devil that had took Jesus captive. It was the will of the Father, hey, and the submittance of the Son that was taking him to Calvary's cross. And he thought surely that Jesus would get out of this. And when he realized that he was headed to the cross, you know what he said? He saw his sin. And I'm going to tell you, Judas had a good start toward Christ. He saw his sin, but you hear this old country preacher, he didn't follow through about his sin. And I want to say this morning, he said, I've sinned and I betrayed the innocent blood. And watch this, young people. This is just how the world will do to you. They'll get out of you what they want, and then they'll say, well, what is that to us? Young people, this world will use you all up and throw you away and not care about you. But honey, it ain't nobody like Jesus that'll love you this morning. And when this world's done with you, aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that loves you this morning? And Judas took his 30 pieces of silver. He went back to the authorities there and he realized he had sinned. He cast them down. You know what they said? What's that to us? That's the way the devil is. The devil will paint you a pretty picture. Young people, you'll see these billboards come up to Budweiser, them nice Clydesdale horses, and they'll paint you a pretty picture on that lifestyle of the Hollywood and wicked. But honey, he won't show you the backside of that billboard that I've seen in the morgues and the mortuaries around this world at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. The devil will sell you out this morning. He'll get out of you what he wants, and he'll turn around and leave you empty-handed. As long as I had plenty of weed, I had plenty of friends. As long as I had gas and the right kind of music in my car, I had that crowd that come around, and I thought that they was my friends. But all it was is they were selling me out short. But honey, I won't end the sermon there this morning. I'm glad there was Bloody Calvary that come by and got me one marvelous day. I'm glad he saved me by the sweet grace of God one morning. And Jesus done something the devil couldn't do. He bought me back. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad Jesus paid the price of all price this morning. He paid our price at Calvary. You'll notice what they done when they got this blood money. He throwed it down at the temple at their feet. They wouldn't put it in the treasury because they were so religious. So they went out and they bought a field of blood. You know what it was? It was a burial place for the poor. A lot of folks think that they can clean up money by religion, but honey, let me tell you, the money that's dirty, it'll always be dirty till you use it for the honor and the glory of God out of the right kind of heart and spirit. They wouldn't put in the tithes of the church, but they wanted to wash their dirty money. Bought them something had to do with the church. Reminds me of people won't come to church, won't pay their tithes, don't love God, but when they die, they want to give a few a few hundred thousand to the church. And they tell you, that don't wash your blood money out. This, oh Lord, that don't wash away the sin off of your lifestyle today, honey. I'm glad I served God while He's living this morning. Them and Him. There was Judas, the deceiver. He sold out Christ. What'll be your price? What's your mark you set on Him that you'll take? God, I'll serve you as long as you bless me. What if you don't get blessed? God, I'll serve you if you use me. What if He chooses not to use you? There's Judas, the deceiver. Secondly, verse 15, there's another character appears around this great day. And the Bible said, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Ken. Joe. Mike. Gerald. His name was Barabbas. He is a notable criminal. The Bible and the parallel gospel says he was a murderer. He went against the judicial laws. He killed a man over it. They put him in prison, and you know what? He's sentenced to die. Barabbas is facing judgment. Can you imagine that old guard that come by that day, put Barabbas in the cell? Every devil in the prison stuck their tongue out at Barabbas and said, Barabbas, you're getting exactly what you deserve. And he was getting what he deserved. I sure am glad me and you hadn't got what we deserve. There's no doubt, I don't know how long he'd been in there, but I do know they locked him up to die. And so, old Pilate come around and said now, he wanted to appease the people, he was a politician. And he said, what would y'all have me to do? Would you have me to release unto you Barabbas or Jesus? And you know what they cried? Barabbas. Could you imagine that same old soldier that locked him up? Come back down there to his jail cell that morning, no doubt Barabbas had his head bowed low. He said, Lord, I'm fixing to face my judgment. When them keys stuck in that door and turned it, there's no doubt that prisoner stuck another key out and said, Barabbas, give me your hands. He said, what you talking about? He said, well, Barabbas, I've not only got a key to the door where you're held captive, but I'm fixing to take them shackles off. He said, well, aren't you scared I'm going to run? He said, no, Barabbas, you can just run, run, run. Said, there's a man called Jesus. Said, he's headed down to the cross. And so, all of a sudden, Barabbas, we're going to let you go, but he's going to die for you. I could imagine as Barabbas turns out of there and says, you mean there's somebody dying in my place? You mean as guilty and as lonely as I was, there's somebody that has took my place? I come to today, as guilty and as lonely as we were, there's somebody named Jesus that took our place that day. Could you imagine old Barabbas when he got out? Lord, I bet if he went to the Baptist church, he'd scare the far out of half of y'all. Whoo! I sent us to die. But another man took my place. When it ever dawned on you where we was headed to a devil's hell, but Jesus paid the price and got us out, glory to God. There's old Barabbas, the disgraceful. Could you imagine he might have said, you mean me that's a murderer? As wicked as I am, he's took my place. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus will take your place? Because he's paid the price, but it's up to you what you do with Jesus, Barabbas. Oh, this morning I'm glad that Jesus took my place. You see, there's Judas, the old deceiver. He sold Christ. And then there's Barabbas, the disgraceful. There's another character that appears on our Bible in verse 19. Pilate's wife, the dreamer. The Bible said when he was set down, Barabbas was released and Christ was brought in. He sat down on the judgment seat to send him to Calvary. And all of a sudden, Pilate's wife appears. She sent unto him saying, look what she said. Have thou nothing to do with that just man. For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You know what Jesus did to Pilate's wife? He made her resting place turn to a restless place. I'm glad one day God disturbed me where I was laying down at. Oh, I'm going to tell you, say one now, preacher, I've not been sleeping too good. I can tell you how to get the best night's rest you've ever had. Let's trust the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I've been having dreams about this man. By the way, she said, this just man. Listen to me. We don't have to go on dreams now. We've got a Bible. And it's nothing wrong with me and you having a dream. Dream big. The reason our Baptist churches are dying is because nobody's dreaming big no more. Joseph had a dream. But I won't tell you that God made her resting place into a restless place. I'm reminded of what the old prophet said, Brother Vince. He said that the bed became narrow and the covers became short. I'll never forget Brother Elmer Cason coming to my trailer on that Saturday. That old man of God left, told me about the dearest friend that I've ever found. He walked out, but something happened that Saturday morning. God stayed. I went to bed, tried to cover up that night, but the covers got short and the bed was narrow. And Renee said, what's wrong with you? Everybody down at the Sandy Flat thought I was saved. Had the right kind of haircut. I could recite all the books of the Old Testament. But I was getting tired of my bed laying bad. Boy, that morning when my foot done that right there toward cow, you know all I said? God save me. Little did I know I was going to lay down that night and enjoy the best night's rest I've ever had. He can do that for you this morning. He may have took your restful place and made it a very, very so uncomfortable where you've been resting. Now it's become restful. You see, around this cross that day, there was Judas before they took him. By the way, Judas went and hanged himself. Young people, you know what your sin will do to you? It'll take you to a dead-end road. Judas the deceiver. And then there is Barabbas the disgraceful, but Pilate's wife the dreamer. But then, look in verse 24. This is the conception. This is what everybody thinks of how that religion works. Look at Pilate. I noticed it this morning in verse number 24. Pilate turned him over, released Barabbas, didn't listen to the dreamer. And the Bible said in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather atonement was made, an uproar was made. Watch. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. But I want to say something according to the Bible this morning. Ceremonial laws does not wash you clean. He had a ceremonial law that he could accustomed to. He could go wash and be clean.
No, 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 no. That don't work.
You see, only the blood of Jesus can wash you clean.
And no doubt he thought he could get rid of his sinful deeds by the washing of his hands. You know how you can get rid of your sinful deeds? Not by the washing of your hands, but by the washing of your heart. Simply turn and say, Lord Jesus. Say, wouldn't it be amazing if God would save you this morning? Them and Him.
Now I want to say that there was Judas the deceiver. There was Barabbas the disgraceful. There was Pilate's wife the dreamer. There was Pilate the deceived. Did he really think? Can I ask you a question as your preacher today closing this sermon? Did he really think that took care of his sinful deeds? There's a lot of people think that going to church, doing good, is going to take care of their sinful deeds.
But no ceremonies will get you free to God. Only His Son will get you to heaven. The people there, Judas the deceiver, Barabbas the disgraceful, Pilate's wife the dreamer, Pilate the deceived.
But then verse 32, I won't tarry there much, but I won't mention him. There's Simon the disciple. The Bible said in verse 32, they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. I want to make one statement there and move on to Calvary and finish this sermon. Simon felt pressed to bear the cross. Simon felt pressed to carry the cross. They laid on him. As Simon was coming out by Christ, that cross was so heavy, as the Lord was bearing down, they laid that cross upon Simon. And he bore that cross with Jesus up Calvary's hill. Do you ever feel pressed to carry the cross? You know something? We live in 2016. We're just starting to see something. We're starting to see the ridiculing of Christians in America. Very few of us know what it is to be ridiculed for Christ. Very few of us really know what it means to feel pressed because of the cross. Standing for what's right when nobody else is standing. Telling the truth when nobody else will say the truth. You will suffer persecution if you follow Christ. Simon was pressed to carry the cross. I am my heart as your preacher. I am more pressed this morning to carry the cross than I've ever been pressed in all of my life. There's a generation sitting here counting on you to carry the cross. As they come to give their money in a bucket, they don't need a hireling to tell them that ceremonial rituals will get them to heaven. But they need a called preacher man to preach in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost to tell them the truth. We see them. Now look at him. All of a sudden, the story changes. We find the Lord Jesus and two thieves on the cross. I want to call him not only Simon the disciple, but now we see Christ the devoted.
I want to say he was devoted to the place. Did you look in my reading? They led him to Golgotha. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning, please. You know, we read. They went to a place of skull.
Did you know in Luke's Gospel, the only place this word's ever mentioned, Calvary? Golgotha and Calvary was the same hill. The Bible said that it looked as a skull, and every man dreaded headed to that place at Calvary.
But Jesus was devoted. He could have called 12 legions of angels at any time. But let me tell you what he was devoted to. Not only was he devoted to a place, Jesus was devoted to a people. You know why Jesus had to go all the way to Calvary? For in order to get you and me and others to God, he must give his life. It reminds me, they thought they were belittling him, but what they were doing was magnifying a truth. Brother Lee, when they put our Lord between those two thieves, they thought they was ridiculing more, showing that he was the sinner, the main one guilty. But let me tell you how the Holy Ghost magnifies this truth. There's one man between God and men. The Lord Jesus.
Isn't it amazing? He was devoted to a place, but he was devoted to a people. They cast the same in his teeth. But something happened that day at Calvary to that one thief on the left side.
Matter of fact, he wasn't on the right. Look on your Bible. He is on the left. But you know what, Brother Paul? That old doubting thief was on the left. But he turned his doubting into believing. And the one that denied him was on the right. You know what Jesus done by the grace of God? He reached over on the left and he pulled him on the right side. And I sure am glad the grace of God have put you on the right side this morning. Jesus didn't leave him hanging. Brother Joe, I love you. I'm glad he is devoted to people.
People like this man that would stand, say, I love my church. Devoted to little boys and girls that would need him in their life. He's devoted to people.
He's devoted to payment. You know what he said? He gave up the ghost. It's finished. He's devoted to a promise, Brother Mike. The Bible says in this same passage, they was in there doing their ceremonial procedures and the veil in the temple rent from the top to the bottom. You'll read from some of those scholars, they say that veil of that temple in the holy place was as thick as a man's hand is long. I've heard it said it took over 300 priests to hang it. And it tore from the top to the bottom. You see, Calvary opened up a way for you, sir. Ma'am, Calvary opened up a way for you.
Opened up a way for me. Now, people come many times and they put their trust in a preacher.
No preacher can save you this morning. And I end with this. You hear me and you hear me well. And you take this and you bank on it and put it in your Bible, in the back of it. If me and you are going to heaven, the only way we're going to heaven is the way this thief went to heaven. That's putting our faith in the Son of God, and by the grace of God, He saves us. For He said today, in Luke 23, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I don't know what you need this morning. Maybe you just want to gather around this altar and say, Lord, thank You.